I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello and welcome to Fantasy Football Tips. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture Football, joined by Andrew Pollard from What Culture Football to give you all the advice that you may need ahead of the fantasy football and the real football season starting all over again this coming weekend. Don't forget, if you're a fan of this sort of thing or you want to listen while you're out and about, you can do so by subscribing to What Culture Football wherever you get your podcast from. As I said, though, joined by Andrew Pollard to talk all things fantasy football, and as if to personify this conversation of who we should pick ahead of game week one, you were just telling me you had the majority of your squad pick. We're not going to have to go from 1 to 11, but in the time it's taken us to set up this Skype call, you've changed someone.
Yeah. My nailed on first choice goalkeeper is now not even in my squad just because of, problems. I think anybody that's, well, everybody that is watching this will have had that same thing of whenever you play fantasy football, there's always that like, yeah, I'm nailed on. I've got this 11. I've got this really good squad. I'm going hard on this guy. And then it can all just like change in the blink of an eye where it's like, something goes off in your head where it's like, yeah, but they're playing, if this happens, but so, and I can bring this. Yeah, it's so many ifs and buts, which is, that's all part of the fun.
Yes, there's a reason why we're not going to sit here and do our 1 to 11 of our sides, purely because it's sod's law that by the time this video goes out and then by the time Saturday rolls around, they'll have all completely changed. And if you're as part of the What Culture Football Fans League, which you can join, the link should be in the description to this video. If not, just pester us on social media and we'll tweet it out or something. They'll look at our squad and go, you didn't say half of those players. So we'll just give a sort of roundabout advice as much as we possibly can, considering my shocking record last season in fantasy football. Actually, I didn't do too bad. I came second in our office league. And I had the lad who was in first suddenly panicking because he had like 100-150 point leads once we went into lockdown. And then he came out and just went, oh, I'm not bothered. I haven't really checked my squad. And then had a miracle happen on the final day, just maybe. But no, it didn't happen. Mikel Antonio certainly helped me run him close, though. Anyway, let's talk this forthcoming 2020-2021 season in the Premier League and start off with the headline. Who do you need to have in your fantasy squad this year, Andrew Pollard?
Ethan Ampadu. No. Well, actually, to be fair, I do have Ethan Ampadu in my squad. I do think he's a snip for 4.5 million. But yeah, I think if you're talking the essentials, to me, now that he's classified as a midfielder this season, it is Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. I think that you have to. The guy that, 71 goals in 100 games, 110 games for Arsenal since joining them. And he's been playing a lot last season on the left, coming inside. I guess some could lazily, easily call it the Thierry Henry role. But that's what he's been doing. And for him to now be classified as a midfielder, and obviously midfielders get more points as strikers for scoring goals, and it just seems like an absolute no-brainer that every single player should have Aubameyang in their fantasy football side. It's nailed on. 12 million.
Yeah, the one and only time I will say Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang is the John Lundstrom of this season. He is essential. I nearly fell off my chair whilst camping with friends last weekend, and they said, you know, Aubameyang's a midfielder on fantasy. I was like, what? He has to be in there. We're going to get onto this more central point in due course about how arguably midfield is the most important area of the pitch and where you should be spending the majority of your money. But the list of players I have of like essentials alongside Aubameyang, aside from like Trent, I think you have to have Trent Alexander-Arnold in your team almost just to counter the fact that everyone's going to have him in. You're shaking your head. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
But mine is just stacked with really expensive but really good midfielders. For example, Bruno Fernandes, who I thought was wonderful last season and is going to do more big things for me this season.
Yeah, I went with Bruno Fernandes straight away, but then there is this interesting nugget now where, because of their participation in European football,
yes,
that Manchester United and Man City both don't have games this opening weekend. So it's like, I don't know. To me, I think Bruno Fernandes is 10 and a half million. So to justify that outlay on somebody that's not going to play in that first week, that's another pickle all in itself, I think.
My plan for that is to just allocate someone for 1 week who's around a similar price and then go, right, you're straight out unless you do something amazing in the first game week.
Yeah, yeah. But then what happens if you pick a few Man City players? And that's the same thing where you're going to make two or three transfers after the first week, Bourbon. This is why you end up playing your wild card. This is why we all end up playing our wild cards after a fortnight, because we're knackered. I think Bruno Fernandes is going to... Well, he's shown that he took to the Premier League like a duck to water, was just involved in anything positive that Manchester United did for the second half of the season. Well, I guess the second and third thirds of the season because of how it's broke up. So I think he's a great one to throw in there. I think Raheem Sterling is a great one to throw in there. With someone like Trent, though, I mean, he gets a lot of points, but I don't know if I want to be splashing out 7 million on defenders. I think him and Robertson are both 7 million, which obviously they're that price because they're proven. But I don't know. To me, like, I know we'll get to this shortly about how midfield may be key this year. I thought last year, defence was key. And especially because of Sheffield United, because they were so impressive at the back and they were all really cheap if you got on that bandwagon early enough to bring in a John Lundstrom or a Egan or O'Connell or whoever. They were all getting points. Dean Henderson in goal as well, obviously. Whereas now, I don't know, maybe I'm a bit stingy, but I like to always just look at like, or you kind of have that game with yourself of like, yeah, but if I pick up this bargain that nobody else picks up on, yeah, but it doesn't always work out like that, and you have some guy who never plays football. Yeah, but I always like to go a bit, I don't know, just skim it rather than splashing 7 million on a defender. I always think it's better to go kind of slowly, especially if you're going to spunk all your money this season on a lot of midfielders, higher value midfielders. So I'd maybe advise going against, which sounds crazy, I'd maybe advise going against Trent or Andy Robertson just for that fact of save your money for the midfield.
I put Aguero down, but we can sort of discount talking about him for this week at least, because he's one of the players I always have in my fantasy side because he's just so consistent when he's not injured. But obviously, first game week, let's not talk about that. Let's talk instead about Chelsea players, because spoiled for choice. Havertz, Pulisic, if he's fit for the game. I think it's Brighton, I think they've got possibly over the weekend. Timo Werner, of course, any of them caught your eye?
Timo Werner, I noticed, when you look on the, because this is of course through the Premier League fantasy football we're talking about, their website, when you look at the percentage of teams that have players, Timo Werner's the most picked striker right now in the whole of the game. So I don't have him because my forward line at the moment is, there's not much going on, should we say. I don't know, I just went hard on this midfield. I did make a little, while we were waiting to set this up, I made a change and brought in Harry Kane, but before that it was Eddie Nketiah, Rodrigo and somebody else for 5.5 million. So yeah, I jiggled it around, so I've got Harry Kane as a striker. But yeah, with Chelsea, the one that I instantly put in straight away, just because I've got a soft spot for him massively, was Hakim Ziyech in midfield. But I don't know. Part of me, at the moment, I have no Chelsea players in my team. And I'm kind of holding off just to see what... I think Timo Werner is obviously going to start every single game. And I'd imagine Ziyech will as well. But I think just because there's so many new faces at Chelsea and there's such a big squad and players that came through last season and got a chance, like a Mason Mount and Reece James, who stepped up to the mark, Tammy Abraham. I think it's going to be interesting to see how Frank Lampard lines up that Chelsea team. So I'd... Their fixtures, that opening fixture is Brighton's tempting, but I know they do have Liverpool the second game, Chelsea. So I'm maybe holding off a little bit on Chelsea right now. But yeah, Timo Werner, I think to me, he seems guaranteed to score goals and a lot of them. But then we've said that before with players. I'm just thinking of Mateo Kesman coming to mind. Blast from the past with Chelsea. Andrei Shevchenko, obviously a bit more of a big name example of that, where everybody expected Sheva to score a whole load of goals for Chelsea. They spent a lot of money on him and it didn't quite happen. So maybe Werner has that. I don't think he will, but So many variables to take into mind, Wobo.
Like you say, it doesn't really matter. I'm going to play my wild card 3 game weeks in. So.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You rolled your eyes when I said Trent Alexander-Arnold. So let's move on to players that you definitely feel that people should avoid for, if not the first game week, arguably the entire season.
Yeah, I'm not saying to avoid Trent because he's guaranteed points. I just think it's that risk and reward of, okay, he's guaranteed points, but he's going to cost you a lot of money. But in terms of players to avoid, and this, I feel angry at myself for even saying it, and it goes against what you just said, because likewise, I've had him in my team every single week for as many seasons as I can remember. I'm going to say Sergio Aguero. Purely because it's a tricky one with Pep in general, because with Manchester City players, there's only maybe, when everybody's fit, there's maybe, I don't know, maybe two players that you could say are nailed on to start. I'd say Kevin De Bruyne, maybe three actually, Fernandinho, and then Aymeric Laporte if he's fit, and obviously the goalkeeper, Ederson. But other than that, we've seen it before. Everybody's been burnt by Pep Guardiola and his rotation system because they've just got so many great players. And I think with the way Gabriel Jesus finished the season, I wouldn't be surprised if he starts to get a bit more game time. And obviously that will come at the expense of Sergio Aguero. Mm-hmm. So, and again, when I was looking at the most picked players, Aguero's really far down on the list of strikers. So I think a lot of people might be having that similar thought process. So as bizarre as it sounds to say, I think maybe avoid Aguero for now.
I don't think it's bizarre. And I'm going to probably piss a lot of people off. It's madness that we are sat here and we have done previously saying, well, looks like Man City are favourites for the title. And I'm going to tell you, don't pick another one of their players in your team. That being Ederson. Not against him as a footballer. I think there are far better buys to make in between the sticks because, yes, you're almost guaranteed. Well, you were until probably last season, regular clean sheets with him. But he's what, 6 million? Isn't he?
Yeah.
Not for me. Not for the amount of points he'll get you for the revenue you'll spend. And I'm very much a person who's always 0.3 pounds or points or whatever it's called, you know, whatever you spend on play, away from being able to buy the right player. And I always sit there and go, oh, well, if I'd have to make three changes and cost myself more points and what have you. I just think there's far better keepers for 4.5, 5 million that, yes, may not necessarily guarantee you clean sheets week in and week out, but with the whole saves bonus and, you know, at the end of the day, Man City last season, conceded far too many goals. And if you've got him in there, unless there's a big game against someone like a Liverpool, if he concedes, he's probably not going to get the saves bonus. So, I'm always averse to putting sort of top goalkeepers or really expensive top goalkeepers, I should say, in between the sticks, which is sort of why I'm, considering your Nick Pope's or Alex McCarthy's even potentially for this season, because yes, they aren't going to get as many clean sheets, but they're also probably still going to score you more points. What do you reckon?
I agree 100% there, mate. To me, I like to have a busy goalkeeper rather than the one that's nailed. Because it is like Edison's going to get lots of clean sheets. Alisson's going to get lots of clean sheets. And you can look at all the top goalkeepers, but I'd rather take that chance, spend less money and have somebody that's going to make their points up in save bonuses to me.
One question I was going to ask you, actually, any other players you think you should avoid very quickly?
I did make some lists here, but I don't know. Yeah, it's I've just put, and I can't believe I've wrote this down or typed this down, is avoid Aguero and Jesus. And it's like, they're both great, but
yeah.
I just think it's to invest the sort of money in Sergio Aguero. I think he's maybe 8.5 million the last time I looked. I just think that's when the emphasis is so much for me on throwing money into midfield. I think that 8.5 million for somebody that is going to play, I don't know, 2 in 3, 2 in 4 games, just because you never know with Pep. It's a tricky one with anybody in that attacking third, I think. Like, whether it's Bernardo Silva, Raheem Sterling even. I have got Sterling, and I think he's worth going hard for. But there's going to be those games where you get disappointed when you look at the team sheet and think, Sterling's on the bench.
I've had my fingers burned with that far, far too many times. I like the fact as well that the four players we are advising people to avoid, all of them are in the top two sides, because my final pick is Roberto Firmino. I love him. I love his teeth. And he's an integral part of Liverpool's attack. But in terms of points returns, there are far, far better things you can do. You know, he's never been the sort of 30 goals a season for Liverpool, but he has also been, like I say, such an essential part of that front line. But, you know, he's one of those players, and I have him in my team almost every season, that he's crucially involved in the build-up to a goal, but doesn't score it and doesn't make the pass to set it up. And therefore, I'm congratulating him, and he might get acknowledged, maybe, hopefully, somehow with a bonus. But in the cold, hard light of day, he doesn't do it in terms of a fantasy point standard for me. Very quickly, your strategy on fantasy football. Do you? Because I've always very much been the person who picks an 11 and then fills the bench with, you know, players who've already been sold, for example, to the Bundesliga. What do you with your strategy there? Do you have players on the bench that you can rotate, or do you just go, right, I'm going to spend, you know, 80 million on my outfield 11 and then just sort of cobble together who I can from youth players and stuff to sit on the bench?
Yeah, I had a nightmare last season. Me and some mates did the draft version of fantasy football, and I completely forgot about draft night. So it automatically picked for me, and I had Romelu Lukaku, who was about to depart for Inter Milan. I had Alexis Sanchez, who just wasn't playing football. I just had this team of like, should have paid more attention there. But no, my normal strategy is, I don't know, I like to have a big family. I like to think of every person's important. Obviously, you flesh out with bargains. And like I was saying, I tend to go for a lot of lower price players. And then, obviously, you can afford your big superstars. But I don't know. To me, it's key that I've got, 15 players that all play regularly. And that's why sometimes I get put off like a Manchester City or a Liverpool, because it, just squad rotation, I'd rather go with those maybe big fish in a small pond, but who are going to play every single week. I think that's why people like to go for Burnley defenders, or last season Sheffield United defenders, or Jamie Vardy's always appealing because you know he's going to start every week, and the same with Harry Kane. But no, to me, I like to know that everybody's in with a shout of getting a game, so that as and when you can change things. And with the goalkeepers as well, I like to have two goalkeepers that play.
I don't reckon I've ever scored more than 5 points as a result of playing my bench boost chip, so maybe I'll change that this season. You talked about relying on defence last season. I'm a listener to the excellent Triple Captain pod with Rich Wolford and Luke Jurdy and producer Ben, who advised on that for last season. For this season, is it all about midfield, and what formation are you using to accommodate that?
At the moment, yes, it is all about midfield for me. And as such, my formation, I've definitely got 5 in midfield that I'm planning to start every game with. And then, it's almost like the weak point of a team is kind of the strikers, I think, where I'm planning to, at the moment, is to have a 5 in midfield at all times, which is why I've gone hard on my midfield with Raheem Sterling, Aubameyang, Bernardo Silva at the moment because I couldn't afford KDB. But it's you go with some big hitters in midfield, I think, this season. And it's, there are still some bargains out there in midfield. And for me, I've gone, like I said, in the build-up to recording this, I had a bit of a panic and put Harry Kane in. But before that, it was 3 6 million strikers. Well, one was 5.5. But I jiggle things around. I do have Harry Kane. But I think that, yeah, for me, I'd be going cheap on the strikers because you look out there and, I don't know, there isn't none, but there's very few kind of premium strikers that you should be thinking, oh my God, I really need that player.
Is Rashford a midfielder as well?
He is. Yeah, so Anthony Martial's been reclassified. So
midfield, you could have a midfield of Son, Aubameyang and Rashford.
Yeah, and Sterling, who's been playing. And who else was there? Oh, Mason Greenwood as well is a midfielder for 7.5 million. So it's, and throwing Bruno Fernandes while you're at it, or De Bruyne. It's, this is what I mean. I think go hard on the midfield. And then there's some really good cheap options up front just to fill out the numbers and to have players there available if it works better on certain game weeks. But yeah, you look at like the top level strikers where normally everybody would be going, oh my God, I need to get Aubameyang up front, or I need to get Aguero. And like I said, I'm not in any rush to go hard on Sergio Aguero this season. But other than that, there is Harry Kane, there is Jamie Vardy, Raul Jimenez, Danny Ings, obviously Aguero is there, Gabriel Jesus. So that there are strikers who are worth investing in. But I think to me, I'd lean more towards having just one main striker who you maybe spend a bit of money on. And then the rest, I'd just invest as much money as possible in midfield, which almost sounds like I'm giving financial advice, which do not take financial advice from me. Do not take financial advice from me, maybe even.
Not to put words in your mouth, but are you looking at anyone other than Aubameyang as captain for game week one?
Oh, well, not even just game week one with him, because they've got Aubameyang, they've got Fulham away at Arsenal, then they've got West Ham at home, and then they've got Sheffield United at home. And as a midfielder as well, it's just, to me, I think it's hard to look past Aubameyang. I mean, Sadio Mane, I'm a huge fan of him. I thought he was Liverpool's star player last year. And maybe he doesn't quite get... He gets a lot of love, but I think maybe he should be getting more love. So he's an option. Liverpool star at home against Leeds, of course. And then Harry Kane is... I mentioned him just then, but Harry Kane, Spurs are playing Everton at home. And while Everton, Carlo Ancelotti, as of this recording, has brought in three fantastic additions in midfield in James Rodriguez, Alan and Abdoulaye Doucouré from Watford, you still think that even if Everton look good going forward, you fancy them to concede a good few amount of goals. And Harry Kane's record, I looked into this, in his last five games against Everton, he scored 8 goals.
And so it's August he's crapping, isn't it? So we're all...
Exactly, yeah, that's it. I didn't even think of that one. Yeah, we're in September. So, you know, I think... to me, it comes down to Aubameyang or Harry Kane. And I'd kind of gone hard on Aubameyang as captain, and that was it. He was going to win everything for me, and it was going to be a wonderful relationship. But don't know, again, in the prep to this, it's like, Harry Kane, it is Everton, who I do have a bit of a soft spot for Everton, but they can be so ropey at the back. And it is at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, which I can't get used to calling it that. And it is, I said that the last five games, Harry Kane's got 8 goals against Everton. So maybe Harry Kane.
Finally, I have a terrible track record of this every season, but who is your big fantasy football gamble for the season? Who is the player that you're going to sort of put all your hopes on and hope that everyone else hasn't really noticed?
I've mentioned him once before, I think, already on this. And to me, Eddie Nketiah at Arsenal, because I looked into it again with that, and I think he started, of the games he was available, I think he started 9 of the last 13 or 12 games for Arsenal. He's only 6 million. And like I said, I don't see that many strikers. I'm not going hard on three really expensive top-level strikers. So I think Eddie Nketiah for 6 million... We've seen that Mikel Arteta has played Aubameyang on the left a lot, and Nketiah has been starting down the middle. Alexander Lacazette seems to be halfway out the exit door at the Emirates. So I think Nketiah is going to get a chance. He's going to get game time. And I think for 6 million, if it clicks, I think he could be a real steal. And I don't know, another one, maybe Rodrigo at Leeds. Again, 6 million. I just think...
Yeah.
That, but again, that's that. There's so many variables at play with that one, because who knows how well he's going to adapt to the Premier League? Mm. Who knows how well Leeds are going to do? But for 6 million, in terms of fleshing out your squad, that's a shout. If you're taking a punt on somebody, I think I'd like to see him do well, but I think if he goes on loan, Michy Batshuayi could be worth a go at $6 million. And same with Rian Brewster, because I think Rian Brewster was what? Where is it? I wrote it down. So $4.5 million, but and he's been told about as going on loan to maybe a Crystal Palace or somebody, and that could be a good deal. And maybe, God love him, it's so entertaining to watch. Alan Saint-Maximin's only $5.5 million still. If you're looking to make up numbers in your midfield and cheap options.
He was one of the names I was considering. I thought about Patrick Bamford. I thought about, is it Pereira, West Brom?
Oh, West Brom, yeah. Got a shedload of, assists last season.
Yeah, exactly. But if you're going to do a gamble, you've got to go with your heart. And I'm so excited to have him in the Premier League. It's got to be James Rodriguez. I'm so excited to see him in the Premier League. I hope it's completely wishful thinking, this, but if we can't do it now, then when can we? I hope that Carlo Ancelotti can help him rediscover the form that made him one of the world's most talked about players back in, 2014 or whatever it was. And Everton's run of games to start with aren't too bad. The first sort of six games, I think they're playing one of the top six somewhere in there, but
for the Spurs the first game.
Yes, exactly. That, but following that, I think they could kick on. Although the Everton fan that I know is very pessimistic around it all, but
they tend to be. Bless him. Yeah. I am in a little WhatsApp group with a load of Everton fans, of my mates, and they're always, even when they've made signings, it's like just this one in particular. God bless him. Love you, Tim. I think Alioski at Leeds as well. If you're looking for cheap defenders, $4.5 million, just in terms of numbers, there could be a good bit of business, because until last season, he was playing as a left winger. And I just think, in terms of sheer numbers and for those low level prices of $4.5 million, I think Alioski could be worth putting into your squad. But it's exciting.
Exactly. I'm so excited for the Premier League to be returned on Saturday. Let us know your picks, your gambles, your captains, the players you are going to avoid in the comments section below. Don't forget, in the description, there should be a link to the What Culture Football Fans League, which we'll all be in, and you can try and compete against us and just, show us up, basically.
Embarrass us,
Let us know your thoughts in the comments. Don't forget to like, share and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Football, wherever you get your podcast from, for daily football podcasts. Continue the conversation on Twitter at What Culture FC, where you can find both of us. Andrew, where can people get you?
You can get me at Cultured Left Peg.
And you can follow me at Adam Wilborn from E-Panicking at 11:15 on Saturday morning and trying to change my entire squad. As I said, follow us all at What Culture FC. But this has been fantasy football tips for the whole season and sort of game week one. We'll hopefully try and make this a regular thing, depending on how I do over the weekend. Right, my thanks to Andrew Pollard. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.